Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you today. Thank you for being here. I want to share with you a verse. We always start out every Sunday with an opportunity to read God's Word before church. Our theme of the year has been Matthew 22:37, and so I want to read that with you. This is what the Bible says. There's a young lawyer who came and talked to Jesus. He said, "Lord, what's the greatest commandment?" That's what the Lord said. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." You know, as we go into Memorial Day tomorrow, we're having a Memorial Day service over at Isidore at 2 p.m., and Jeshua's going to be speaking there, and one of the things he's going to be talking about is duty. We're going to be talking about duty today, and as Christians, we do have a duty. And the Lord put it right here in the Word that the greatest duty we have to the Lord is to love Him. And didn't say to feel like you love Him, it said to love Him. And so we're going to do that today together. And I want to encourage you to be contemplative of what it means to love the Lord, that duty to love the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we give you praise for being so kind to us. You're good to us in ways, Lord, we can't even possibly comprehend. And Jesus, today, like any other day, we get the chance to commune with you, commune with others, and worship. And Lord, today we're going to intermix in that worship time a sense of duty. And we do have a duty to you, because you were dutiful, Lord, in loving our God and going to the cross. And how can we not emulate that same duty, Lord, as we are asked to live in this world? And what does that duty look like? We're going to talk about that in our message time today. We love you, Jesus, and pray this in your name.
All of our songs this morning are going to combine God and country, God first and the country that he founded. So let's stand as we sing the Star Spangled Banner to begin. We're going to sing two verses of this. We have sung the second verse for several years now, and it's a very good perspective verse as well. So let's stand as we sing. That goes with that song was Psalm 20, verse 7. It says, "Some trust in chariots, but we will remember our God." Again, that was Psalm 27. We're going to turn now to America the Beautiful.
Skies for water, the waves of green.
Father God, it is so very true that full unity can only come when all are united under you. Father, you know as well as we do that our country is tremendously divided right now. There are some who glibly say, I am on Satan's side. They have no idea, Father, what that means. They take you glibly. They chastise you, they laugh at you, they dismiss you. So, Father, those that gather here this morning, we're here because we care about you. And we look to you for our trust and our guidance. Help us be firm in the convictions that you lay out in your word. Help us not to waver. Help us to stand firm in you. Because, Father, it matters. You win. You won at the cross, you won at the resurrection, and you will win for all eternity. May we stand for you and fight for you and realize that the battle belongs to you. So, Father, this is your country. May we hold true to the ideals that you tell us about in your word. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Time of communion this morning, we're going to use the battle hymn of the Republic. just to tie it all together.
Nice to see the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Have loosed the fateful lightning of this terrible sword. His earth is marching on.
Glory, glory,
hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that never should be.
Morning. What is duty? Well, as I consider what duty is to me, I have to look back on the men who have served before me. One of those men was Major Sullivan Ballou. This was a letter he wrote his wife, July 14th, 1861. On the cusp of one of the greatest battles fought in human history. My very dear wife, indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. Lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I shall be no more. Our movement may be one of a few days' duration and full of pleasure, and it may be one of severe conflict and death to me. Not my will, but thine, O God, be done. If it is necessary that I should fall on the battlefield for any country, I am ready. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how strongly American civilization now leans upon the triumph of government, how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution, and I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to help maintain the government and to pay that debt. But my dear wife, when I know that with my own joys I lay down nearly all of yours and replace them in this life with care and sorrows, when, after having eaten for long years the bitter fruit of orphanage myself, I must offer it as their only sustenance to my dear children? Is it weak or dishonorable, while the banner of my purpose floats calmly and proudly in the breeze, that my unbounded love for you, my darling wife and children, should struggle in fierce, though useless, contest with my love of country? I cannot describe to you my feelings on this calm summer night when 2,000 men are sleeping around me, many of them enjoying the last, perhaps before that, of death. And I, suspicious that death is creeping behind me with his fatal dart, and communing with God, my country, and thee. I have sought most closely and diligently, and often in my breast, for a wrong motive in this hazarding the happiness of those I love, and I could not find one. Pure love of my country and of the principles I have often advocated before the people, and the name of honor that I love more than I fear death, have called upon me, and I have obeyed. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of country comes over me like a strong wind, bears me irresistibly on with all those chains to the battlefield. The memories of all the blissful moments I have spent with you come crowding over me, and I feel most deeply grateful to God and you that I have enjoyed them so long. How hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes of future years when, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and seen our boys grow up to honorable manhood around us. Forgive my many faults and the many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have oftentimes been. How gladly I would wash out with my tears every little spot upon your happiness, struggle with all the misfortune of this world to shield you and my children from harm. But I cannot. I must watch you from the spirit land and hover near you while you buffet the storms with your precious little freight and wait with sad patience till we meet to part no more. Sarah, do not mourn me, dear. Think I am gone and wait for me, for we shall meet again. O Sarah, I wait for you there. Come to me and lead thither my children. Major Sullivan Ballou would be killed 2 short weeks later in the First Battle of Manassas in the American Civil War. He understood what duty was. He understood duty first to God, then to his country, finally to his wife and his 2 sons. What is duty to us? You want to have an idea of what duty is to them? Anyone want to wager a definition? I prefer the Army's definition because it's very short and very sweet. This comes from the OCS hand guide that was gifted to me oh so gratefully not that long ago. Duty, fulfill your obligations. A pretty simple definition. But what is our obligations? An obligation as an officer is to lead men up to the point where you're willing to sacrifice your life for them and even sacrifice them to the point to achieve victory. But what is the obligation of the Christian? Well, our first obligation can be found in Matthew. In Matthew 22:37. We all know this verse pretty well. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. But the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." As Deb prayed before me, our country is divided. As we are going into the month of June, the rate of spiritual attacks and even physical attacks upon our nation's honor and the honor of our faith are at stake. So now, as we gather here upon the cusp of June, we need to bear one another up and keep faith. This burden that we share can be found in Galatians 6:2 that calls us to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What this means is you have to be strong. You have to be of good courage, of good faith, have duty, bear one another up. In the heat of this battle for our nation's identity and our faith, if you cannot trust yourself, can your fellow Christian trust you? You must bear your burdens and bear one another's burdens, doing so fulfilling the law of Christ. So, as we Christian soldiers continue to march into war, let us gather with communion. God, thank you for being here with us on this holy day. Please help us remember the men and the women who have gone before us into your embrace. Let us not lose heart, instead choosing to march into battle with one another and with you as our banner and our cry. In your son's name, amen.
Thank you. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
What America be like today, because what you have given to us, freedom, foremost through Jesus and his blood, and then secondarily the freedom that we have through the blood of those who have died before us. So Lord, help us to teach our children and our grandchildren, and our nieces and nephews, what it is that makes blood so precious. Not only for a soul to be saved, but for a land to be free. Help us to not take that for granted. We love you, Lord. We know you're coming back soon. Help us be ready. In Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Hey, if you got your Bibles, I want you to have in the ready Genesis 14 and also Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 6 in Hebrews and verse 7. You've heard this word already mentioned several times today, the word duty. And I wonder, how old do you have to be to say that you no longer have a duty? How old do you have to be, you think? Does anybody have a number in mind? How old do you have to be? Well, Joshua talked about the Battle of Manasseh, which in the Union language, Jess, what was that battle? What is it? Bull Run. Thank you, Jess. Can we mute all these other mics, if you don't mind? Please make sure just mine's on, because I've got some feedback up here. Thank you, Jared. We have two illustrious teachers in our midst, Joshua and Jared. Both are teaching in school, so thank you guys for keeping me on track. His name is John Burns. John Burns. In fact, John Burns was a constable. That was a fancy word for a police name. Turn it down some more, Jess. Got some feedback up here. And he was a constable in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He was a veteran of the War of 1812. It was thought he was born in 1793. He was a Scottish heritage. And he and his family had come to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to find a quiet farm life and to have his cows and milk his cows as farmers do. And on that particular July day, in Gettysburg, John Burns made history. What John Burns did in that July 1st was he showed up. He showed up with his antiquated rifle. It was an old rifle that wasn't worth much or to do any good, but he showed up just the same. And a sergeant on the scene found this to be true. His name was George Eustace, found this to be true when John Burns showed up on scene ready to fight. It said, "He must have been noon when I saw a little old man coming up in the rear. I remember he wore a swallow-tailed coat with smooth brass buttons. He had a rifle on his shoulders, and we boys began to poke fun at him as soon as he came amongst us, as we thought no civilian in his senses would put himself in such a place. When asked what possessed him to come out here at such a time, this was his response as to why he wanted to fight in the Civil War as a 70-plus-year-old man. He says, "The rebels have either driven away or milked my cows," and he was going to get even with them for it. I suppose if you own cows, you're on two sides of that fence either one time or another. And about that time, he says, the enemy began to advance. Bullets were flying thicker and faster, and we hugged the ground about as close as we could. Burns got behind a tree and surprised us all by not taking a double quick to the rear. He was as calm and collected as any veteran on the ground. I never saw John Burns after our movement to the right when we left him behind his tree, and only knew that he was true, blue, and grit to the backbone, and fought until he was three times wounded. It says this, at the conclusion of the first day of the three-day battle, the Union left Burns behind as he was not an enlisted soldier. Smart guy, dropped his rifle, was in civilian clothes, got picked up by some locals, got healed up, and continued to heal up after that. Any idea what famous person had what we call the Gettysburg Address? Abraham Lincoln. And just before making his speech, Abraham requested the company of one John L. Burns. How old do you have to be to no longer do duty? John L. Burns was born in 1793, and I'd wager a guess that there's not a person in here that old. But I would wager a guess that some of us feel old. Having said that, I believe no matter what age you are, there is a sense of duty for each of us. And I want to share with you something. I believe it goes beyond our cows. It goes beyond getting back revenge for our cows. And so today as we step into Genesis 14, I hope you're there ahead of me, Genesis 14, there's a phrase that's going to come to mind today in Genesis 14, and it's the phrase, just desserts. Just dessert. And no doubt you would tell me that John L. Burns had a just dessert moment when he shot his rifle, keen as an eye as he was, and a 70-plus-year-old man, and shot that Confederate man off his horse. He would say, no doubt, Mr. Burns would say, that that officer got his just dessert. And we've heard of that phrase before, and it is spelled like you would spell the word desert, but it sounds like the word dessert. And I want to share with you just a moment where we come across this word, just dessert. Just dessert. Just dessert sounds like it should be spelled this particular phrase right here, okay? Next screen there, Jess, cursor down one arrow. Just dessert is spelled like D-I-H-Z-U-R-T. That's how it's pronounced. I'm saying this incorrectly. Dessert is pronounced as dessert, okay, D-I-H-Z-U-R-T. Why does that matter? Because I'm about to show you something, all right? Here's why it matters. It dates back to the 1200s, and the way it looks like desert, but it's pronounced dessert. And so our phrase today dates back to the 1200s, where just dessert means a reward or punishment that is deserved. It is deserved. And no doubt, like I already shared with you, that when you mess with a man's cows, he gets what's coming. And as we step into Genesis 14, I'm going to share with you a just dessert moment. But I want to ask you a quick question. Have you ever thought in your mind when you've witnessed someone's life that they're getting what they deserve? Have you ever thought that in your mind? They're getting what they deserve. It didn't take long to look at reels on Snapchat, Instagram, or wherever you are in your life on social media. You can see those reels every day. Well, they're getting what they deserve. It's their just dessert. And as we look at Genesis 14, we see Abraham and Lot interacting. Now, last week's message was a fantastic message. I was profoundly encouraged by the Lord to give us that message. And if you want that message in print, I'll give it to you. If you're going to look online, Facebook and or YouTube, I'll give it to you, or on our website. It's a great message. I encourage you to look at that message about family. Remember last week we decided that if you have family, you have challenge. You have challenge, you have drama. Every family has challenge and drama. It doesn't matter who you are. No family is exempt. Every family has challenge and drama. And all of us in our families have seen someone make what kind of decision? A poor one. They've made poor decisions. When that family member has made a poor decision and they have a consequence for it, what do you think we say in our minds and sometimes even out loud? It's their just dessert, okay? Some of us even say life is tough. It's even tougher when you're stupid. And some people have done that in our family. And guess who else has done that? How about the person you saw in the mirror today? Have you made some poor decisions in your own life? And I bet someone else said about you what? You're getting your just dessert, okay? We also say it another way. They've made their bed, and they can lie in it. We've all done that. We've all said that. But I'm curious, is that always the case? I want to challenge your notion in this regard that I don't believe that's always the case. Because what does a God follower have as far as a person when they are facing a just dessert moment? I believe a God follower has a duty. And we're going to look at the duty today of Abraham as he's facing a just dessert moment with Lot. And so what does it look like? What does it look like for a God follower in a just dessert moment? The first one is this. A God follower's duty is to act on behalf of others. God follower's duty is to act on behalf of others. You follow along your sermon outline, you can fill the sermon in today as you travel along the message with me. Her name is Army Sergeant Ashley Randall. And she is quoted as saying this after she got a phone call. I didn't know anything. Not even his name. What had happened was she had got a phone call from the Army who manages in distributing the Medals of Honor. She got a phone call that she was to accept the Medal of Honor for her grandfather. Who's her grandfather? She had no idea. Didn't even know the story even existed. His name is Domencio Rivera. And it was this week, a matter of fact, it was the night of May 22nd through 23rd in Korea when his platoon outpost was assaulted by North Korea, perhaps even Chinese. It was dense fog, which added more chaos to the scenario that was already about to entail, of which I'm about to tell you. He was first given a